Hey, good morning, everyone. It's 6:05. What a busy news day today. Lots to talk about and some crazy weather coming up later today, Michael Riedel. A warm front followed by a cold front.
And then a warm front and then another cold front.
And it could be damaging winds, could be large hail and heavy rain. That's late today. Hide the dogs and cats. I don't know what's going on here.
I got to find out from WOR's weatherman, Ray Stajic, how it can be 82 degrees out and you can have hail.
Well,
hail
yeah.
is ice. Isn't hail ice? Yeah, don't you have to be below 32 degrees to have ice?
Well, it comes from way up where it is colder.
Doesn't it?
It comes from way up. The hail comes from, well, see, I didn't think it came from
yeah,
the Empire
State
Building.
It's not lava. It's not like lava coming up from the ground.
I didn't think it was Z100 from the top of the Empire State Building.
Doesn't it melt as it comes down? It comes through the atmosphere and it melts?
If it's big enough when it starts falling.
No idea.
Sure I do.
It comes from way up. He's just trying to enjoy the conversation.
It comes from up in the atmosphere.
Comes from way
it's
up.
Cold.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
88 degrees, supposedly. Hey, good morning, everyone. I don't know where to begin. I will tell you the story that made me the saddest.
Oh, yeah.
Poor Lois Lane died. My God, what an iconic role.
Margot Kidder.
I love Margot Kidder.
I love Lois those movies. Lane. I love that movie. It was filmed, the first Superman was filmed at my old office, the original Daily News building on 42nd Street, the one where when you walk into the lobby, it has the big globe, and there are many scenes of Lois and Clark Kent in front of that globe, and that great scene when she is dangling from the helicopter, hanging on to the walkie-talkie, that was filmed atop the Daily News building on 42nd Street.
Yeah, I just loved. Is that when she fell and Superman rescued
yeah,
her?
Yeah, he rescues her. That's the first time you see Superman in the movie.
This is one of my favorite lines in the movie, of course.
Easy, miss. I've got you.
You've got me. Who's got you?
Love that line.
Classic.
You got me.
Who's got you? She was great. She was. Kind of ahead of her time there. She played feisty Lois Lane, who was
right.
single and a star right. reporter, getting all the scoops out there on her own, an early feminist. You know, her heart pitter-patters for Superman, but who's wouldn't? Christopher Reeve in his heyday in that tight blue suit.
Well, they said the way she played it with humor kind of set the stage for now how all these movies are played. You know, they try to throw in the cute and irony and the cute jokes and all that, and she really set the stage.
Well, she was good because she was the tough, hard-nosed reporter, but then she could show her heart and her sensitive side as she was falling in love with Superman.
69 years old, and she struggled with bipolar, which is really just a debilitating illness.
No cause of death yet.
No, nothing listed.
But she had that strange incident, remember, where she was discovered hiding in the bushes in her neighborhood in L.A., and I think was partially closed. Height of a bipolar disorder.
Yeah,
so she battled that her whole life.
Margot Kidder, just 69 years old, Lois Lane. But, I guess the story that affects most people today is the sports gambling. And I know Joe is a big proponent of sports gambling. I have mixed feelings. Before I tell you how I feel, how do you feel, Michael?
I have mixed feelings about it, too. I think the Supreme Court made the right decision. It's really not about gambling. It's about states' rights. It's about federalism. It's about allowing the states to decide whether or not they should have gambling. And I'm all in favor of giving more power to the states. On the other hand, I think gambling is a serious addiction, and I worry that, you know, there goes the kids' college tuition now as this encourages people who have a gambling problem already. So I am ambivalent about you, but I do agree with the Supreme Court's decision.
I know, Joe, you were part of a group fighting for this, right?
Well, kind of. I know the guy.
Certainly not Gamblers Anonymous.
No, I know the guys behind this. Dennis Drazen, the guy down at Monmouth. And
this could be in effect in a couple of weeks in Monmouth,
2 weeks. They've already made renovations at Monmouth. In fact, a couple of years ago, they were even doing it like dry runs because they anticipated the Supreme Court.
Well, here's your friend Drazen.
Congressman Pallone called me. He wants to come over. Governor Christie always said he'd like to do it. They're probably 30 or 40 people in this room that might take a bet today if I let them.
They're talking about who's going to make the first bet at Monmouth. That's what they're talking about.
Now, initially, this was done to help racetracks and casinos to bring more people there. So that was the impetus for this bill.
Could it save Atlantic City, which is in serious trouble?
I don't know. And to the question about people losing their retirement funds, people can bet now. If you have an inclination to bet and to run up debts, you can do it now. You don't need it to be legalized. I don't think it's going to get more people to bet than would ordinarily.
I guess you can take the same position on legalizing drugs then.
Sure.
People can get drugs and they're going to abuse drugs if they want to. It does make it a little bit easier.
But it's being done. See, the thing is, it's being done. It's being done illegally. It's also being done legally.
Well, you know, my feeling about that is if you legalize drugs and if you legalize gambling, and I'm not entirely opposed to it, then the people who do indulge in it, they have to take responsibility for their own actions.
Okay.
And if they become gamblers and they lose the retirement fund, see you on the street corner with in a cardboard box. Wow. There should be no programs put in place for the government to help you so you can indulge your predilections that are going to lead you down a bad path. No support.
Tough love there.
You're
from
tough,
Michael,
tough.
Huh?
Yeah. Well, my concern, my secondary concern is in that area. And you say, well, everyone does it, but this is going to make it easier. It's just like, it's too easy to get guns. It's too easy to get drugs. It's too easy to gamble. So that's my concern. And I know families that have been ruined by the gambling addictions. That's one concern. My other concern is way too naive, and Joe's going to laugh at me at this. But I really come from the old school where I root for my team to win. I'm not rooting for my money. And what happens in football is you can root for your team, but root for your money, and your team loses, but you still win, so you're all excited. So I know that's naive.
But
I know sports is supposed to be sports.
What are you, 10 years old?
I know. I know it's naivete on my part, but I'd much rather root for my team than my money.
A lot of that has already changed, where the young people are betting, not betting, they're rooting for individual players because they have these fantasy leagues where it does. The Giants may lose, but you know what? The guy in the other team was, I have the quarterback on my fantasy team, and that means, I win some money.
Now, the other issue here is it's going to be a tax windfall for the states, New Jersey, which,
they all claim it's going to be. Well, let's see. Because if every state then legalizes, let's see. All right. A lot of questions, a lot of issues. That leads off our big three this morning. It is a big victory for New Jersey. States' rights, the Supreme Court rules that states can make their own decisions regarding sports gambling. And former Governor Chris Christie is going to join us after the 9 o'clock news, and he, of course, a big proponent of this and wanted it for New Jersey, and now he's a winner, and he's going to join us to discuss the ramifications later this morning. Also in the big three, the continued violence and controversy in the Gaza. One report has 58 dead. Another report has over 2,000 injured. This all as a result of the U.S. opening the Jerusalem embassy, the White House. Very strong in their comments. Raj was up there yesterday saying this is all Hamas's fault.
It is.
This is not just peaceful protest.
No, it's absolutely Hamas's fault. And today, by the way, is something that is not a cause for celebration in the Gaza Strip. It's Nakba Day, which they call the catastrophe, which is the founding of Israel from their point of view. This has nothing to do with moving the embassy to Jerusalem. This is Hamas. This is the Palestinians advocating what they fundamentally believe in is the non-existence, the wiping off of the map of Israel. And until the Palestinians accept that Israel isn't going anyplace, they can rot in the Gaza Strip forever, as far as I'm concerned.
Who wound him up this week? My goodness. Now he has gamblers. So let's sum up Riedel.
Oh,
you have gamblers living on street corners in cardboard boxes, and you have people rotting in hell in the Gaza Strip.
Right. That's it.
Anything else you want to take on today?
You know what I do want to say? Here, I want to boycott the Daily News. This is the most disgusting front page. Yeah. They have a picture of lovely Ivanka Trump, who was over there celebrating the location of the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. And what do they have on the front page? They call her Daddy's Little Ghoul. That is disgusting. So the three of you who are out there who still read the Daily News, don't get it today.
Wow.
All right?
He is on a roll.
Right. He must have got a lot of sleep last night.
I did, actually. I was in bed by 9, all fired up and ready.
We have to stay on his good side.
But come on, Len, you got to...
You never fight with newspaper guys because they always have the last word, and they are always very clever with their wordage.
But this is offensive, Daddy's Little Ghoul. It's like they're blaming her for the Israeli shooting at the protesting Palestinians.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
All right, rounding out the big three this morning, Melania Trump undergoes kidney surgery. Wow, in a White House that leaks like a sieve, nobody knew anything until surgery was done.
No anesthetic for her.
What? What is your problem?
I'm kidding.
Well, the conspiracy theorists, you know, they're out there. I mean, was this really kidneys? You know, you don't know. I mean, obviously, that's what the White House says it was, so that's what it was.
I thought
benign kidney situation.
I was concerned. I thought, oh, my God, the stress of being in that marriage, of being in the White House has taken its toll. And I thought, oh, boy, here, the stuff is going to come out more about the marriage.
Well, you know the late-night comics. I mean, Jimmy Fallon last night saying, well, she could have come home today and she told the doctors, hey, don't rush it.
<That's right.
laughs> No, I'll stay. She's going to stay to the end of the week. And people are saying, well, if it's such a non-invasive procedure, why is she spending the whole week? So, of course, the answer is, well, she wants to. I mean, can we extend this a little bit? No, I'm just kidding out there, Trump fans. 7:30, we have my personal Mets tickets. At 8:30, Michael's personal Mets tickets. Mets are back in action tonight. A little interleague series with the Toronto Blue Jays. Noah Syndergaard, who, as you know, Michael, was traded from Toronto, now will be pitching against Toronto tonight at Citi Field. And as we'll have the game for you coverage at 6:05. And so a lot going on this morning. We'll have a live report from Jerusalem. We have Chris. Oh, we have Spencer Christian, you know, the famous TV weatherman.
Yeah, and gambling addict.
Ironically, he had to overcome a big gambling addiction. So he might have some interesting things to say as well about the sports gambling. So we're just getting going on an extremely busy Wednesday in the big city. When we come back, a lot to discuss. The nanny case. How about that? And just heartbreaking testimony from the parents. And we're gonna hear from the parents in just a moment. She got what she deserved. Life sentence. No parole.
Good morning, everybody. At 6:25, well, justice has been done.
For sure.
Yoselyn Ortega, the nanny who butchered those two little kids, has been sentenced to life in prison. She's going to rot in the prison, and then she will rot in hell. It kept a harrowing trial that really has gripped the city for the last several years. Back on October 25th, 2012... Well, Marina Krim was at a swim class. The nanny, Yoselyn Ortega, butchered her children, Lulu 6 and Leo 2, in the bathroom and then tried to stab herself. Naturally, the defense argued that Ortega was Looney Tunes, but a jury has decided she was guilty as charged, and the judge yesterday sentenced her to life in prison.
Yeah, here is the judge, Gregory Caro, handing down the sentence.
You're sentenced to the maximum penalty of the rest of your life in state prison, no possibility of parole.
Well, hard, a little off mic, but life sentence, state prison, no possibility of parole.
And we have reaction from the parents, too.
We did. Well, both of the parents, obviously testified at the sentencing hearing. The mom.
The defendant set out to destroy what Kevin and I had created and built, an inspired, happy, thriving family. But she failed.
Yeah, Marina, that's Marina Krim, and more of what she said.
Lulu and Leo are powerful forces. They're two stars now that will always lead us forward.
Mm. Terrible, terrible.
And this was Father Kevin.
We are so sad that we won't get to see them grow up. I had simple fantasies of proudly cheering Lulu and Leo on as they became these great people.
Never see them grow up. I know it's a little off, obviously off mic, the parents during the sentencing phase, and they got to make their statements. But afterwards, now both sides, they claim that she suffered from mental illness. This was her defense attorney, Valerie Vandler Greenberg.
She lacked substantial capacity to know or appreciate the nature and consequences of her acts.
So that was her side, and prosecutor Stuart Silberg.
Nobody saw signs of a serious mental illness because there was no serious mental illness.
So,
the jury agreed with him.
I guess they agree with him, but no one can be all there. No one can butcher two little kids and have their, be all there. I'm sorry. Obviously, for legal purposes, they decided that that she was sane. But
she was sane when she killed those two kids in the bathroom, and now she's going away for life. And we have some jurors.
Yeah, one of the jurors.
Since I've been on this trial, I wanted to hear that woman's voice. I wanted to bring humanity to her, but I know it was all a lie. That was a last-ditch effort to try to have some humanity, but she has none. Her defense has none. I think they were very rude and disrespectful to us as jurors because we did exactly what that judge told us to do. And some of us have nightmares about it.
That's Chloe Beck, one of the jurors. Very strong.
And she is saying not that the woman was mentally insane, but that she's inhuman, that she is a cold-blooded killer, apparently.
And I guess this comment from, he's in the news lately, Cyrus Vance.
The pain that they had to suffer going through these proceedings. They're a very brave family.
Yeah, they are a brave family. I can't think of a more horrific story.
No.
I mean, you can have car accidents happen. Yeah. They're still tragic. But to have a nanny just butcher two kids?
Here's what happened. So they had three kids, and the mother, Marina Krim, she took the other child, Nessie, who was then 3 years old. This is back in 2015. She took Nessie to swim class, leaving Lulu and Leo with the nanny. And when she came back home, she found her kids butchered in the bathroom. And the nanny did try to stab herself in the neck. But can you imagine?
No, I can't think. I just can't think of a worse horror than that. But, now, life sentence, no parole. I guess if they had the death penalty, would they? Probably would have given her the death penalty.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. No question. It's interesting what the juror said, though. She was looking for a sliver, an ounce of humanity in this nanny, and she said we never saw that in this woman.
Well, let's listen to Chloe Beck again, because this was very, very strong, one of the jurors.
Since I've been on this trial, I wanted to hear that woman's voice. I wanted to bring humanity to her, but I know it was all a lie. That was a last-ditch effort to try to have some humanity, but she has none. Her defense has none. I think they were very rude and disrespectful to us as jurors because we did exactly what that judge told us to do. And some of us have nightmares about it.
She sounds angry.
She does.
Sounds really angry.
Well, Marina Krim, the mother, said that the nanny, quote, has never shed a tear for these children. We don't have any audio of the nanny, but here's what the nanny said. I'm very sorry for everything that happened, but I hope that no one goes through what I have gone through.
Have
gone through. That's what she's thinking.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What she's gone through?
Yeah.
Oh, it must have been tough for her to see herself that.
What a rough life she's had. What a rough hand she's been dealt.
Yoselyn Ortega, we will never see or hear from you again, which is good news.
Bye-bye.
Welcome back, everyone. It's 6:41 on a Wednesday. If you're new to the program, as I like to say, where you been?
Yes.
This is week 11, I think, Len Berman and Michael Riddle in the morning. And just so you know, you can email Michael and me directly at our website individually and privately. Some of us actually answer our emails.
Let's not get too carried away with a privacy bit there, Len. I don't want any...
Well,
strange emails.
No, well, I used to get ones in crayon. They've kind of backed off now. But our website is 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. Let me read you this. His email calls himself Rabbi Fishman. So I don't know if he's a rabbi or not, but that's what he calls himself.
Okay.
He says, Len, I thought Michael's an atheist. Yesterday, Michael declared himself an atheist, and today he's telling those people in Gaza to rot in hell. Well, which one is it?
Very, very smart.
Well, thank you,
there.
Rabbi. It's a figure of expression.
Okay.
Hell, there you are. I wonder where the rabbi stands on that issue.
Oh, well, I'm sure he's not pleased with the people in Gaza either. And you can also, we have a show Twitter account, which is @LenMichaelWR. And Mike here sent a couple of tweets. I don't think he's in favor of the sports gambling. He said, the lottery was created to support education. How's that working out? You know what? I happen to agree with Mike on that. They always say, "Oh, the money from the and the education
sucks.
Systems are poorer than ever. Yeah. Teachers have to buy their own supplies. What happens to all that windfall from the lottery?" Also, he says, Mike then tweeted later, "Watch for the boom in pawn shops." So no, I mean, I think he agrees with me. I think he feels that obviously gambling's an addiction.
Yep,
and
this just makes it easier. It takes this, and also it takes the stigma off it, and I do think
there's stigma. There's a stigma of people betting with bookies.
Yeah, yes, I think there's a stigma to a gambling addiction.
Oh, a gambling addiction,
absolutely.
Oh, sure.
But this kind of takes the stigma away from.
And you're in
that.
Favor of that, making gambling easier, making you're in favor of
no,
drugs
no, no,
easier?
No. By
you're in favor of making it easier to get guns. I
no,
mean,
by
really?
Making gambling easier, by making the drug accessibility easier, it takes the kind of stigma away from. Not doing these things, which I think in the long run are probably bad for you. I'm ambivalent about it, as you are.
No, I am ambivalent. Well, there's a normal time of the day where we...
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.
Place your bets.
Well, Major League Baseball, it's funny how all the sports leagues... oh, it's terrible. It's the integrity of the game. You know, of course, the Black Sox scandal in baseball, and players will be bought off, and point shaving in basketball. And now that this is becoming a reality, all the leagues have their hand out. Okay, we're going to call it an integrity tax.
Yes.
Where's our integrity tax? It's called Vigorish. That's what it's called.
They're gonna build in fees, right? So if you bet on some of the professional sports, the teams will be able to get their hands on some of that money.
Yeah, well, they're claiming, you know, they're giving you the data. You know, Major League, you know, the sports people are using data, which comes from Major League Baseball. So it's basically a cash grab. Listen, Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, says this is going to increase sports owners' value in their teams by twofold.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that's true or not. Anyway, as far as the Mets, they were off last night. They're back at Citi Field tonight. Coverage here on WOR begins at 6:05. Noah Syndergaard's on the mound.
Yep.
So this should be a pretty good matchup. And we've got Mets tickets at 7:30, my personal seats, and then 8:30, Michael's personal seats. And while the Mets were off, their minor league team, the Binghamton Rumble Ponies.
The Rumble Ponies?
Yeah, the Binghamton Rumble Ponies.
Not sound like a really formidable league, the Rumble Ponies. Well, I see like some little pink pony out there with boxing gloves on.
They had quite a game last night with the Erie Seawolves. And guess who?
Stop. That one you made up.
No, I didn't.
The Seawolves?
The Erie Seawolves.
And the Cortland.
No.
You were okay with Binghamton Rumble Ponies, but you have a problem with Erie Seawolves?
Why do they have these crazy names? They sound like they're out of a children's book, the Cortland Chipmunks. Whoa.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Well,
I don't believe you, but anyway.
You know who had a big 3-run homer for the Rumble Ponies last night?
Alvin.
Thompson comes set. He deals home. Tebow cracks one deep right center field. Montgomery back, looking up. Goodbye. A game-tying 3-run blast by Tim Tebow. Deep over the wall in right center.
Hey, game-tying 3-run. And that tied the game, and they won the game in dramatic fashion. Are you wondering how Tebow's doing this year?
Yeah.
He's playing left field. He's batting .260. He has a problem hitting the ball. Not there.
Right.
He's been up 105 times, and he struck out basically half of that. Every other time he's up, he strikes out.
So he's not going to be elevated to the Citi Field? Is there any possibility he could be elevated?
You know what? Maybe in September when they expand the rosters. I think people, at that point, if the Mets are out of it and they can have a Tim Tebow bobblehead night.
Tim Tebow garden gnome like Yonas Cespedes.
I'll have a Rumble Pony night. Quickly before we go, Eli Manning is settled out of court, so Manning will not take the witness stand.
That was fast.
And the fake memorabilia, were they real helmets or not? We'll never know because they're sworn to secrecy in this agreement. I wonder what really did some money change. Some money must have changed.
Well, Joe Bartlett thinks he just signed a few jerseys for the guy suing him and called it a day.
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah. Well, but that was really fast.
Well, that was done.
Which indicates maybe, I mean, I don't know for a fact, of course, but when you settle that quickly, does it indicate they may have had something on Manny that could have made things a little sticky for him?
I don't know. Well, he wasn't the only defendant. It was also Brandon Steiner. It was also the New York Giants football team, John Mara. Maybe they just wanted this thing to go away. They called Michael Cohen, and he wrote a check
from the Russians
for $130,000. And Michael
rubles.
Avenatti will be on CNN in an hour to discuss the Manning settlement.
It all ties back to Stormy Daniels in your mind.
Deal. Coming up next, this is quite a story about a Picasso, which we're going to tell you in a moment, and also the latest royal wedding news. We have palace intrigue.
Happy Tuesday, everybody, at 6:54 here in the morning. Now, Len, do you own any art? I mean, you have an estate out there in Sands Point, right? You have a vast art collection?
It's vast, but it's, you know.
It's paint by numbers.
It's finger painting, you know, it's grandkids, what they made at school. I don't know, nothing that's valuable. Do you have valuable artifacts, paintings?
I have a couple of pieces of art I've picked up over the years.
Don't say it out loud. People will be looking at you, for you in your neighborhood.
I got a good deal on a couple of mid-century modern paintings several years ago at an auction.
Mid-century modern, that's a real thing.
It is,
furniture, it's a thing in art.
Yeah. So, no, I did all right, but I don't have a $70 million to throw around.
Well, there's is it still worth $70 million?
Well, there's a Picasso painting called Le Marin, which means the sailor, valued at $70 million. It was supposed to go up for auction at Christie's this week, but upon inspection, they discovered some damage to the painting, so it has been withdrawn from the auction so that they can repair the damage. Now, it turns out the owner of the painting, according to Bloomberg, is casino magnate Steve Wynn, who, of course, has been disgraced because of sexual misconduct allegations. This is not the first Picasso that once belonged to Mr. Wynn that has been damaged.
No, and so what's that, what are they insinuating? That he?
Well, in this is all we know. In 2006, now remember, Steve Wynn, he's almost blind.
Yeah.
He's got a degenerative eye disease.
So he was carrying it to the van, to the
and
U-Haul?
Well,
really?
No. In 2006... He put another Picasso painting called Le Rêve, which means the dream, on sale for $135 million, but he accidentally put his elbow through the canvas.
Oh,
so he had to withdraw that one from the sale.
Did they say what the damage is to the $70 million one?
They don't
know. The sailor?
We do not say. No, we do not say what the damage. They do not say what the damage has been. The last time, though, he damaged his other painting by putting his elbow through it. I don't know. Maybe he put his toe through this one, or maybe he was painting his wall and he didn't realize the Picasso was on the wall, and he took a roller of blue paint and went right over the painting at the
time. Wynn, the Picasso killer.
That's unbelievable.
But you know what? Hey, I would go for a damaged Picasso because it's called a deal. So if I could get it's a $70 million painting.
You get it for
$25,000? If I get $25,000, I'd pick it up, and I'd fix it myself. What the heck? I can buy some oil paints and fill in the areas that are, touch up the areas that are a bit damaged.
All right, let's get to our, you know what's coming up Saturday.
Oh, the big wedding.
All right, coming up early Saturday morning, and there's palace intrigue and controversy with Dad.
Who's going to be awake at Saturday morning
Me?
If they play that?
Me?
If they play Natalie? That? If they play that boring Anglican music like that, you fall sound
very
asleep.
Relaxing. I already asked my daughter if she'd wake up with me. We'd have tea. Maybe
really?
Some crumpets.
Oh, really? God,
she said to me. No way, Mom.
Exactly.
What are you kidding, Mom?
Cucumber sandwiches.
I'll have a few of my Girl Scout Fitbits. No way. Forget it, Mom.
Are you kidding?
She didn't see. She gave me a look like,
Are you really getting up to watch it?
Yeah.
They do make DVRs. Do you not have one of those?
Yeah.
I want to feel it in the right moment.
Oh, well, live it in the moment.
God. Huh? Is she going to go in like one of those pumpkin-style carriages?
They did
up
pick,
the drive?
They did pick out their carriage. They had all the carriages to choose from. And if I remember right, it was from like the 1800s or something like that. So I just cannot wait to find out what tiara she's wearing.
Drowning out badly.
I don't want to sound sexist here, but come on. Only women are going to be interested in this wedding. I can't see a guy getting up early to watch Meghan Markle.
Now,
see
some
what
guys,
she,
come on.
Some guys on Broadway, Mike.
Well, yeah, they want to know what shoes she's wearing.
Kate had on a gown that was beautiful.
Oh, here we go.
But was very covered
we're
up.
We have a week of this crap.
I wonder what she's going to wear. I have a feeling she's going to be a little more revealing, a little sexier.
All right. How about the daddy controversy?
That doesn't even excite you.
No. Now daddy says he's not coming because he staged these paparazzi pictures. And
the
now
dad's
he's not going to show up to walk her down the aisle.
The whole Markle family
is apparently
a bit
there's
nutty.
A half-sister that nobody knows about named Samantha Grant who lives in Florida.
I said, really, you know, you need to show the world that you're getting in shape and doing great, healthy things. So
this is her talking about the father.
I said, really, you know, you need to show the world that you're getting in shape and doing great, healthy things. So I suggested it, and it was, there's a lot of scrutiny that it was money motivated. It was not.
Well, the daughter's taking the rap now, saying it was her idea to tell daddy to pose for these pictures. And now daddy is not going to walk her down the aisle. My God.
Well,
I don't
okay.
know.
And now, hold on. Remember, Meghan Markle also has this wackadoodle half-brother who wrote an open letter to Prince Harry saying, don't marry this
get out
B-list
while you can.
Celebrity.
But
you would think the palace has better vetting for their potential in-laws.
I will tell you the real reason I have to wake up and watch.
Oh, what is it?
I might know someone in the bridal party.
Oh, nah, see now.
A good friend of mine.
She can't reveal it here.
Well, no. It's a friend of mine from a long time who was college roommate with Meghan Markle. Yeah. Her name is Lindsay Roth. It's been all over the papers.
You're allowed to say that? Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it's been all over the papers. I know Lindsay very well.
Right.
And she can't tell me. I've spoken to her by text.
Yeah.
So I have to see.
She might be in a wedding party?
She might be in the wedding party.
What happens if she tells you that she's in the wedding party? Does she get punished by the
off
palace?
Off with her head.
Do they lock her up in the Tower of London?
I will not put her in that position.
Very good, Natalie. All right. Hey, are those late night Trump jokes getting stale? We're going to talk to ABC News political analyst Alex Castellanos about, Alec Baldwin's tiresome and vulgar imitation of the president. He's got some thoughts on that.
Live from Tribeca,
this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Happy Tuesday morning to you. It's going to hit 80 degrees, and then you may get hit with a big chunk of hail that, as Joe Bartlett has cleverly explained to me, you can have hail when it's 80 degrees because hail, Len, I don't know if you knew this, comes from way up where it's cold.
Way up high.
Way up in the atmosphere where it's really
cold. But
you
ought to know that, Michael.
He described
it
well. I thought Bartlett described it really well. It comes from way up there somewhere. I thought it was really well done, and I didn't know.
I don't know. I mean, 80 degrees in hail, I just can't put the two together. You think the hail would have melted by the time it comes down on your head if it's 80 degrees here, but I guess hail moves very quickly. So
no, there could
be a wacky weather.
By the way, there could be a high of 88 today.
And hail.
These vicious thunderstorms later this afternoon into early evening. Crazy, crazy day. Crazy, hazy days of summer. We had no spring.
You need to get one of those Eli Manning helmets that he certified from his football team to wear today in case you get hit by a big piece of hail. All right. Good morning, everybody. The big three. Well, lot of reason to celebrate in Israel yesterday, recognizing that the capital of Israel is indeed Jerusalem. The U.S. Embassy has moved there. That's if you're on one side of the wall, you're happy in Israel. But if you're on the other side, if you're in the Gaza Strip, some 52 people, I think, at this point, Palestinians, were killed by Israeli soldiers in clashes yesterday and got pretty ugly there in the Gaza Strip. As far as I'm concerned, the Israelis would not be shooting any Palestinians if the Palestinians would acknowledge one simple fact, Len, that Israel is here and it is here to stay.
It wasn't a peaceful protest, as some are painting it as.
Not
as peaceful. The White House maintained yesterday at the press briefing. This was all,
Hamas-led.
Fomented by Hamas. Mm-hmm. And that one report has as many as 58 dead and a couple of thousand injured. But this is all stirred up on the West Bank. No, I agree with you. I mean, they want to wipe Israel out, and then they say, well, how come Israel won't negotiate? Well, it's obvious.
How can you negotiate with someone who wants to see you dead?
Yeah, it's obviously.
And also, they were not peaceful protests. They were trying to detonate bombs. They were throwing their Molotov cocktails.
Well,
they were
trying to breach the wall, which is, Israeli territory.
Yeah, so once again, ugliness in the Middle East persists. And time to place your bets. The Supreme Court ruled yesterday that sports betting is... it is legal. They're going to leave it up to the states. That's federalism in action. I'm ambivalent about legalizing gambling, but I do agree with the Supreme Court that it is a decision that should be left up to state representatives.
I'm ambivalent, too, for a lot of reasons, but Chris Christie, when he was governor, pushed for this.
This is good for the entire state, and it's good for the people who want to bet on these games. We can take it out of illegality, take it out of the shadows, and bring it out into the light. It's going to be good for state revenue.
And we're going to bring Chris Christie out of the light. He's going to join us after the 9 o'clock news to discuss this. And I do think there are some downsides there.
I mean,
clearly the gambling is an addiction. Make it easier for people to gamble, you're going to find more people in trouble.
Buy 401k plan, I think.
In some cases. And then I'm the naive sports guy who says, I want to root for my team to win. I don't want to root for my bet. I don't want to root for the money. I don't want to root for the point spread. And I know that's total naivete. I know. Don't laugh at me. But,
To your point,
I'm frustrated by it. That's all.
I also think it's interesting, as you point out, Len, that the sports franchises, the teams, absolutely against betting. Now that it's legal, they're trying to figure out ways to collect their fees from it all.
They have their hands out. So.
Yeah. Also in the news, Melania Trump is in the hospital suffering from Trumpitis. It's a kidney problem.
No, but the doctors did tell her you can go home tomorrow, and she said, "What's the rush?"
Here.
I'm sorry. Now, that's a little Jimmy Fallon funny from last night.
True. But how funny are these late night comics these days? People seem to be tired of all the Trump bashing and the Trump jokes on the late night comics. We are joined now by our pal Alex Castellanos, ABC News political analyst. He's got some thoughts on the Trump bashing and the late night comics. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, Alex.
Good morning, Michael. We could use a little laugh now and then.
Exactly. Except Jimmy Kimmel went on and he said he thinks people are tired of all the Trump bashing on the late night shows. What's your feeling about that?
Well, I think we're going through the stages of grief here, the left and the media and the political establishment just don't know how to deal with Donald Trump. At first, the sense of loss was, oh, my God, denial. Why is this happening to me? This could never happen in America. Then it was blind rage. It shouldn't be allowed. Now we're in the stage of accommodation. We're rationalizing it. And you're seeing a lot of people, the Kimmels of the world, having to deal with the one thing that they never imagined. Trump is actually succeeding.
Yeah.
In some things. And that's hard to do. So, okay, now we're going to ignore him. Now we're going to pretend he's not there. And I think it's because Trump is just such a repudiation of everything they've supported for the last 30 years.
Well, you know, to be fair, Alex, I know you have been a Republican advocate. Fair? What's fair?
Fair now.
So you don't think that Mr. Trump brings any of this on himself? This is all one-sided coming from the left?
Oh, I think, of course, Donald Trump invites all of this. He's hidden his own presidency behind a storm of chaos and tweets and controversy that he's brought upon himself. Still, nowhere do you see the establishment, the media saying, wait a minute, this guy's actually succeeding at some things by doing the very opposite of what we've supported.
So is the next step here going to be acceptance? You know, you built up this whole now you're up to tolerance. Is there ever going to be an acceptance?
I can't see how that's impossible. It would take about 28 Nobel Peace Prizes to get that. No, we're a long way from that. They haven't left any room at all for Trump to succeed. They never set this up as, well, he may get some things wrong. And there's been no introspection on the part of the Washington establishment or late night comedy. No idea that, well, maybe the American people rolled this hand grenade, Donald Trump, under America's door because we were doing such a terrible job.
Mm. You know, I think the final stage for the left will be not acceptance, Len, but it will be impeachment.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Hey, no, but Alex, I'm curious about that. I've actually heard some commentators on National Public Radio say that Donald Trump should be impeached simply because he's a threat to democracy. I think a big part of the left does believe that.
Oh, I think we're headed right for that. I don't think it much matters if there was Russian collusion. If any violation, transgression of law comes up in the Mueller investigation, and we have a Democratic House in 2018, impeachment's almost certain. I think Democrats can't go home to their own voters and say they failed to impeach Donald Trump if they have that kind of power. And it's not about economics. It's not about foreign policy. As a matter of fact, the more Trump succeeds, I think the angrier some of the the radical left in the Democratic Party, the angrier they're going to be, the more they're going to want to impeach him.
Is there, though, a backlash? Does that harden Trump supporters and turn them out into the polls to support Trump if there's impeachment proceedings brought against the president?
That's probably why Trump would get reelected today. The problem for Republicans is Trump's not on the ballot in 2018. If you want to send Trump a message, hey, slow down, calm down, quit tweeting just a little bit, you shoot a Republican congressman, but you still get to keep Donald Trump, a growing economy, strength in foreign policy. So it may hurt Republicans in 2018, but yes, the country's getting more polarized, and Trump supporters are sticking by their man. What's the alternative if you want change?
Well, Democrats don't have two things. They don't have a candidate and they don't have a platform. So other than that, they're doing great. We're on the.
It's a great movie, except they don't have a script or any actors.
We have Alex Castellanos on the air now. He joins us every Tuesday at this time, ABC News political commentator. So what have you made of this latest White House flap? People demanding an apology from the White House aide who made fun of John McCain.
You know, it was a comment made in private, and I can understand why apologizing privately, as this White House aide did, was the right thing to do. But John McCain is 10 feet tall in my book. I mean, this is a guy who they tied his wrist behind his back and hung him in the air by his wrist. So he gets a pass from me on anything. He's the shortest 10-foot tall guy I've ever met. And I haven't always agreed with him on things he's done politically, campaign finance reform. Too bad. He's a hero in my book. So. And the smart thing to do, of course, would be to apologize, for the White House to do it. Do what people expect you to do here. This White House never apologizes, never backs up.
Yeah, you know, Alex, you know Trump pretty well there. I would think he could just tamp this down by coming forward and saying exactly what you did. John McCain is a hero, and I will not brook anyone saying anything negative about him in my White House. But is Trump just incapable of doing that?
Completely. He is a predator. He only, you know, he eats what's in front of him. He does not apologize for it. And so you'll never see that from this president. It is a human quality he lacks.
Amazing. All right. All right. Alex Castellanos, our ABC News political analyst. He's with us every Tuesday at this time. Alex, thanks as always for
your insights.
Good to be with you guys.
All right, take care. Yeah, I love it when he calls him a predator. Maybe he's pro-Trump, but he knows what Trump is. He's a raptor.
No, he has had a history of being a Republican operative, but I think he does see things clearly and clear-eyed and from both sides.
He does. I do think that is a flaw in our president, though, this inability to apologize when somebody has said something that should be apologized for.
Only once. The only time he apologized was over the
grab him by
the Access Hollywood video. That's the only time he actually said on camera, I was wrong and I apologize.
Well, Mr. President, if you're listening, your White House should apologize for what they said about our hero, John McCain.
Get it over fast. Yeah, I apologize. Let's move on.
Yeah, yep. All right. Coming up next, place your bets. Sports betting is now legal and New Jersey is going to cash in. We're going to talk to former state Senator Ray Lesniak when we get back. And why don't you bet the farm, because your chance of winning $1,000 is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR.
After 9/11, did you live in Lower Manhattan? Did you work there? Go to school there? Did you help with rescue, recovery, cleanup, or construction near Ground Zero? So here are the questions. Were you in Lower Manhattan below Canal Street between September 11, 2001 and the summer of 2002? And have you been diagnosed with cancer? If you answered yes to those two questions, you may be eligible for compensation. Call attorney Noah Kushlevsky, the New York lawyer who's established himself as the go-to guy with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. He's recovered over $1 billion for clients affected by the World Trade Center attacks. He's here to help. Just look him up, folks. How many cases over $1 million? Noah's resolved over 400 of them, $400 million cases. If you're a student or live near Ground Zero or work near there below Canal Street after 9/11 and now you have cancer, call him. Call 888-974-3125 or go online to groundzerocancer.com. That's groundzerocancer.com or call 888-974-3125. Hi, everyone. It's sunny now at 7:24 in the morning on a Tuesday. Don't let that fool you. The weather is supposed to get really rough later today.
Hail.
Hail and heavy winds.
Thunderstorms.
And lightning and all hell's going to break loose. But
right now, it looks pretty good.
Yeah. By the way, in about 5 minutes, I'll be giving away my personal seats. These are really good seats. You'll see the Mets and Marlins at Citi Field on May 21st. So when we tell you to call in, please do so, and you'll be able to win my personal seats. We're going to be talking about sports gambling here. We'll be speaking momentarily with the former state senator from New Jersey, Ray Lesniak. He was a real big mover and shaker behind this, as was
Governor
Chris Christie, who will join us at 9:08. But they were on opposite sides of the aisle, but they were both fighting hard for this legalized sports gambling.
Bipartisanship. That's what that was called, Len. Bipartisanship. So I don't know. I'm ambivalent about it. I agree with the Supreme Court decision because I do think it should be left up to the states to decide whether or not they want gambling. But I do fear there is the slippery slope. I think if you have a gambling problem or an addiction, you move the stigma of illegality to it, you can get deeper into the clutches of that addiction.
Let's see what former state senator Ray Lesniak has to say. Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good after yesterday. This was a 10-year battle I started when a friend of mine was arrested placing a bet with the bookie.
Really? They actually got arrested for a – I didn't know they did that.
Well, what happened was he was with a bunch of guys at a bar. Say, I'm going down so-and-so, place this bet. Oh, put this one in for me and put this – so he had a handful of guys putting bets in for. So he thought – they thought he was a runner for the organized crime ring. The charges got dropped against him. But I was so incensed that what he could do legally in Las Vegas, he couldn't do legally right here in New Jersey. I wrote to every single congressman, and I know all these all the congressional leaders in New Jersey. I was in office now. I was for 40 years, so they're close friends. I didn't get one response.
Wow.
They did not want to move against the NFL.
Mm.
And that's when I started doing some legal research, and I, you know, found this 10th Amendment argument, and I lost 8 times.
Wow. Lost 8 times. You had a losing streak.
Hey, you know what? I bounced up every single time, and the big thing is that we ultimately won. And this is going to be such a big boost for Atlantic City and all the racetracks. And by the way, that was my quest. That's why my legislation limits it to Atlantic City casinos and our racetracks, because these are two ailing industries. We've lost tens of thousands of jobs in both, and we're on the brink of losing more. This, particularly Atlantic City, it's such a great venue. People will come. The problem with Atlantic City is that they relied on day trippers. People, the average day a person visits Atlantic City for 10 hours. So when casinos opened up throughout the rest of the states, it was easier to get to. But now the sports bettor is somebody different. They'll go for an entire weekend or a long week. And there are events throughout the year that will attract people to not only just go there to place a bet, but also to dine and see a show and shop. And of course, we have the great Jersey Coast.
Yeah,
along with it,
Senator. So, we know that some people do fall victim to a gambling addiction. Do you have any concerns that this is going to exacerbate people's problems with gambling?
Well, I don't. No. What my concern is that if we do not help people who do fall into that trap, they're in that trap already. The FBI estimates that this is a $300 billion underground industry. It's so easy to put a bet in offshore on a internet betting site. So easy to find your local bookie. Hey, down the street from me is a low-income housing development where there's a convenience store right across the street, and people are buying lottery tickets lined up. You know, that's a bigger problem, and that's been around forever. And also you can detect there is software that can detect when people are betting over the head, so to speak, and they could be banned. They could be referred to treatment services. And legislation we can now introduce that will provide some resources for that as well. So this is something that goes on every single day. Bringing it above board and above ground makes it easier to regulate.
All right. I want to wish you congratulations, former State Senator Ray Lesniak. You lost eight game losing streak, and you finally won with the big boys at the Supreme Court. So congratulations, Senator.
That's the one that counts. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
See you at the track.
He wants to be first in line today. All right. Now's your chance to win my personal pair of tickets. See the Mets and Marlins May 21st at Citi Field. Be caller number 15, 800-321-0710. You're the winner. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets.
Good morning, everybody. The lines are open. We want your thoughts on the legalization of sports gambling. Give us a call here at 1-800-321-0710. That's 1-800-321-0710. Are you in favor of it? What about people who have a gambling problem? Maybe you've had a gambling problem out there and you want to share your thoughts on the slippery slope to perdition, perhaps. We have a winner with our Mets tickets, Len.
Yes, we do. Congratulations to Nina Smirtenko here in Manhattan. Won my personal seats to see the Mets Marlins May 21st. We have Michael's personal seats. coming up at 8:30 this morning.
Indeed. All right. So give us a call here about legalized gambling. 1-800-321-0710. Let's go to Jerry on line one. Good morning, Jerry.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I'm okay with the sports gambling, you know, as long as it's naturally going to be taxed and maybe that money can be allocated to, you know, fix roads or something. Not that they would utilize it the right way. We don't know that.
Well, we're pretty sure they won't, but go ahead.
Yeah, but if I had to be really honest, I have to think that the Russians have infiltrated the Supreme Court and they're trying to divide us, and that's the reason why this is happening. Mueller should investigate.
Yeah, I think Michael Code's involved somewhere.
You know
I
he
really
is,
do.
Jerry.
Thanks,
you know
Jerry.
He is.
Appreciate
Thanks
it. How about Bill listening out in Pennsylvania? Hey, Bill, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? I really like your show since you guys got together there.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
I think since they legalized gambling here, or get betting, that they ought to let Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame because that was their excuse all along.
Well, yeah, I've always thought Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. It should be based on what his accomplishments are on the field, but that is a conundrum if he's banned because of gambling and now Major League Baseball has their hand out and say, you can gamble. However, the issue is players gambling on their own sport. I don't think that's going to be legal, although what's to stop them from having a friend place a bet at a legal casino?
Well, all I'm saying is if they could collect their money, you know. Yeah, he did his time. He did everything he could. He should be able to be allowed in the Hall of Fame.
Totally agree with you, Bill. Thanks for calling, pal.
I like Pete Rose, too. Hey, let's go to Leon on line seven. Good morning, Leon.
Good morning. Good morning. Great subject. I compare New Jersey now to what organized crime has been all these years. They had numbers. We have the lottery. They had illegal gambling parlors. They had bookmakers. Now we're doing the same thing. Next thing we're going to do is start making money off of dealing drugs, which I know we've made money off alcohol all these years. But what I don't understand is we do such a poor job of running it because organized crime has been making money in Atlantic City for 75 years, and they never even bought anybody dinner. Never mind, had to comp rooms and build hotels. People gamble. You don't need all this other stuff. And it's all about just the dollar.
Well, New Jersey's organized crime. We'll speak to the Don himself, Chris Christie, coming up at 9:08, but maybe they'll legalize prostitution next month.
Chris Christie, the conehead.
Thanks, pal. How about Mary out in Huntington? Hey, Mary, how are you?
Good morning, Mary.
I'm well. How are you guys this morning?
We're great. How are you, Mary?
Good, thank you. I liked what the other man said. It is all about money. And, you know, I'm sorry I missed the entire interview with the former politician whom you had on,
yes,
who was very active in getting this passed.
Yeah, that was the former state senator Ray Lesniak from New Jersey, yes.
Okay, thank you. I really took issue when he was asked, you know, are you encouraging a gambling problem? Are you worried about that? Oh, no, he wasn't. And then in the next breath, he explains, well, yes, it could add to problems. And then he says, oh, well, we'll have programs to help those people. Really? Paid for by whom? Taxpayers? I mean, come on, this is wrong. I'm just not happy with this, and I hope, but I imagine it will be coming to every state near you and me and everybody else.
Yeah. All right, Mary. Thanks.
Good, call,
good to
Mary.
Hear from you.
Thanks,
hey,
no.
Let's go to Joe on line one in Staten Island. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, gentlemen. I agree with the gambling being passed in Jersey. People need to take responsibility, you know, for getting help that they need. But it's always about the money.
Well, so, sure. Absolutely. Thanks, Joe. How about Chris quickly in Pleasantville? Hey, Chris, good morning.
Morning, guys. Love the show.
Thank you, Chris.
I think it's a great idea, great source of revenue for the states. And Michael Riedel, a little surprised to hear you pull the heartstrings argument as a personal responsibility conservative. People have to take responsibility for their actions, right?
Yeah, no, so, I said that. I said that. I agree with you. I said that.
I have no, you know, it's just like tobacco. It's just like alcohol. It'll be a huge business. It just needs to be regulated to a certain degree.
Right. Thanks, right. Chris. Appreciate the call.
Hey, let's slip one more in there. Steve on line two from Newark. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hi. New York City could even handle off-track betting. I mean, it was so corrupt, they closed that. And they were getting cash every day. And what was the cost for that? It was just television screens and a room full of people, you know, clerks, and they can operate that. So I don't know how they're going to, you know, sanction this and patrol this. It seems kind of crazy. It's too much.
Mm. All right. Steve doesn't think government can handle it. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
I remember those OTB parlors. They were the sleaziest storefronts out there.
I went to my neighborhood in Queens, too.
Icky places, absolutely.
People who hung out there, you obviously during the day.
Yes.
All these unemployed people hanging out. A lot of seniors, obviously.
Gambling their welfare checks. So, hey, when we get back, we're going to say goodbye to Lois Lane, Margot Kidder, who played the star reporter in the Superman movie. She is dead at 69. But you know who's not dead?
Me.
Bill.
You.
Old knees bourbon. No, Bill O'Reilly.
He could be returning
to television.
And it's 7:53 and change on a Tuesday morning. Nice out there now. Look out for some rough weather later today. And just sad and all that Lois Lane has passed away. Who didn't love Margot Kidder?
She was great.
Lois Lane. 69 years old.
Yeah. Do you have the love theme from Superman? You know, when
take requests over here, Michael.
Thank you. Because I love that scene where he takes her up into the
love theme?
Stars.
Is that what you'd like?
Yes.
Okay. I know. Like a little girl shivering.
Oh, I remember.
Like a little girl.
That was a great scene.
Quivering.
When they go flying around. That was a classic.
And then remember that their hands begin to drift apart, and she still can fly as long as she's just touching. The fingertips are touching. And then she loses touch, and she starts to plunge to Earth, and he's got to go down, swoop down, and save her.
I think it was the first. Now, what year was that? 78?
78, Superman? I think. Yeah.
I think it was the first superhero movie that actually had a sense of humor. And it was just. Anyway, great lines. This was my favorite line.
Easy, miss. I've got you.
You've got me. Who's got you?
So she falls off the helipad. She's flying through the air. Superman swoops up.
Yeah, she's.
Don't worry, miss. I've got you.
She's in the helicopter atop the Daily News building on 42nd Street here in New York, and she's hanging from the walkie-talkie out of the door of the helicopter, and then she drops, and he saves her.
Yeah. Well, apparently she had a podcast. Well, didn't know that she had bipolar, and she was a spokesperson about it.
She was public about,
and that's just an awful, awful disease. And then she had a podcast. She said this just a couple of days ago, Michael.
I'm in bed with flu. In Livingston, Montana.
Ooh, nice.
And puking about every hour and a half.
Oh.
It's not fun.
Yeah, so she wasn't doing well.
That's sad. That's sad. Do you also remember, I think it was in Superman 2, if I'm not mistaken, when she falls into the Niagara River and she's on her way over the falls. And Superman, he's Clark Kent, and he doesn't have a place to change. There's no phone booth, so he has to use his X-ray eyes to laser beam a tree branch off that falls down. She grabs onto it, and then he saves her before she goes over the falls. Well, damsel in distress.
Here's another line from Superman 1.
What color underwear am I wearing?
Hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. I embarrassed you, didn't I?
Oh, no.
I did.
No, not at all, Miss Lane. It's just that this platter must be made of lead.
Yes, it is, huh?
Oh, you see, I sort of have a problem seeing through lead.
Oh, that's interesting. Problems and first name. Hmm. Do you have a first name?
What do you mean, like Ralph or something?
No, I mean like...
Pink.
Pink! That's the super...
That was good.
He was great, too. Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, absolutely. And, they're both gone. That's
Margot
really sad.
Margot Kidder, yeah.
Chris Reeve and Margot Kidder gone, right. Hey, Bill O'Reilly, he may be back to cable news in his old 8 p.m. slot.
Really?
But not on Fox.
Right.
He's in negotiations, according to Page Six in the Post, to have a show on something called Newsmax TV, which I don't know, it could be like Manhattan Cable Network or something like that. I've never heard of it before. But,
no, that's on the cable channels,
Newsmax. Is it a big deal, Newsmax? Do you watch it?
You know what? No, I don't see it, but it's out there, and it has an audience.
It's not Len's type of viewing.
Conservative. It's a right-wing lunatic thing that you watch?
Well, I wouldn't say lunatic, but...
Yeah, pretty much. No, you're right. Yeah. You're right, Riedel. Pretty much. No, it's not InfoWars, if that's what you're... It's not Alex Jones.
Well, Bill O'Reilly may be headed to Newsmax. Greta Van Susteren and Eric Bolling, all deep-sixed Fox people, are making a comeback with Newsmax. So there you are.
That could put them on the map.
That's
hey,
right.
So what's this? Mr. Broadway is Riedel. If you don't know, he still writes for the Post every Friday with his Broadway column. So what's the latest on this movie that's coming to Broadway?
Len, I can't believe you don't know the movie.
I know the movie.
Some Like It
of
Hot.
Of course I
it's
know the movie.
It's not What's This Movie. It is the greatest classic comedy in the history of American cinema. It is being adapted into a Broadway musical by Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman, who wrote Hairspray, which won a lot of Tony Awards. They're very talented guys. Going to be produced by the Schubert Organization, the most powerful producing and theater-owning company on Broadway. The movie is fantastic. My only concern is the movie is so good. It is such a perfect movie with that Billy Wilder script.
Well, it's Marilyn Monroe, Tony Curtis. Yeah.
How do you improve on a perfect movie without really mucking it up?
I can never have children.
We can adopt some.
But you don't understand, Osgood. I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect.
That's Jack Lemmon. He and Tony Curtis, they play these guys who are running from the mob. And to get away from the mob, they disguise themselves as women in a band. And at the very end there, a millionaire has fallen in love with Jack Lemmon as a woman. And that's when he says, I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect. Classic line.
Who would you cast for these three parts on Broadway?
Good question, because Marilyn Monroe's in the movie, too, and she was sensational. I think you would go with Christian Borle, who's a Broadway star. He would be good in the Jack Lemmon part. That's a good question. I'm trying to think who would be the Marilyn Monroe. Oh, Kristen Chenoweth.
I will be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you. I want to be loved by you alone.
Kristen Chenoweth would be the Marilyn Monroe part.
Oh, so that's very interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to invest right now. It's going to be a big hit.
You think so?
Yeah. It's a great movie, and Shaiman and Whitman are the perfect composer and lyricist for it. They will.
What was the show they did again? You told me.
Hairspray.
Hairspray.
It's huge.
I liked Hairspray a lot.
Right.
That was great.
So we're looking forward to some Like It.